Hello, everyone. Welcome to the post show here for episode 74, Court of Swords. Sorry for lying to you guys in the beginning. It's more fun when no one knows what's going to happen with the death of Solly.
I think for the audience, that worked really well, too, because instead of it just being like, welcome to the episode, Solly Huff is dead. So moving on, like it allowed us to let that scene breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a feeling you were going to do that, honestly.
I mean, I actually struggled with it. Like, I didn't actually start making the new character till Saturday. And, like, as I was making the character, I was like, fuck, I actually really enjoyed playing Solly. Like, it didn't hit me that I was like, well, he's gone if I decide this. And that kind of goes, like, and then I kind of like, well, at least I'll be able to get, like, a final conversation. Like, Adam would surely let me have that. And then I ask Adam, he's like, no, if you die, you're just dead. Yeah, fuck. Yeah. So that's why I looked at my character sheet before it started. I was like, I'm not even going to ask Adam. I bought 20 pages of paper when the character was created. I'm going to say that I wrote down notorious notes on everything that happened throughout my journey, because that's something I would do just inherently.
Wow.
And I was glad I was able to pass that information on. I didn't realize that was going to be towards goal, especially for Dan. So that just worked out. That was a happy accident.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, yes. One that got you a shit ton of XP. Congratulations on 9. If you want to roll for HP, by the way, I can get the roll 20.
I'm taking the average.
Okay,
the average.
All right. what new spells do you get, by the way, while we're talking about that?
Yeah.
I get access to 5th level spells. So as a light cleric, I always have Flame Strike prepared and Scrying prepared.
Nice.
Flame Strike is so cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot of damage, then, isn't it? What is Flame Strike?
It's not as much as a fireball, but it's does half radiant, half fire, so it does a pretty chunk of damage. It's in about like a not quite as right away this, but it's good at like targeting a cluster of enemies if they're all near each other.
Nice. And then Scrying it allows you to see somewhere when you think of someone or something like that?
Yeah, like I can channel for 10 minutes and then I can like spy on someone, or if they fail the save, I can spy on them, see what they're talking about for like some a little ball where I can see and hear through it near them and just spy on them or a place.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. Like a palantir.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Is there a range on that?
let's see. What's it called? Scrying?
Scrying.
Yeah, there it is. The scrying spell, let's see, you can see and hear a particular creature on the same plane of existence.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so no real range, really.
Man, we're getting the big baller spells now.
Yeah, right? This is, you start to do the serious shit. So they make a wisdom save, and we build up the save based on how familiar you are with them. If you have, like, a bit of hair or, like, a body part or something that belonged to them or a picture of them, or whatever, and on a failed save, it creates an invisible sensor within 10 feet, and you can, and as it's as if you're in that sensor, so you get to hear and see around them. Sensor moves with the target, and any creature that can see invisible objects detects the sensor as a luminous orb. So it's kind of like that thing, but you do need to buy 1,000 GP crystal ball, basically.
Yeah, that's the
man.
Something worth 1,000 GP to channel it.
I just looked at other 5 fifth level spells. Raise Dead is one of them.
Yeah.
So technically, you could go back and like res Solly, probably. I guess I already said no. Solly,
yeah. Don't want to come back to life. You can't. But now when someone dies, we have a much more reliable, albeit somewhat difficult.
Yeah.
We have 10 days to do it instead of a minute, which is nice.
That's really good. Yeah. What is.
And if.
Go ahead.
And now I have access to greater restoration. So if Berg hadn't made the deal with the god, I could now cure his arm if I wanted to.
Oh.
I can now cure petrification. Couple of the cool spells is mass cure wounds, where I can heal everyone within 30 feet for 3d8 in the middle of battle, which is nice.
Nice. Do you have a spell called Gaius or Gius?
Yes.
Gaius, yeah.
Weird Welsh word, yep.
It's like a suggestion spell, but like they know you're casting it on them, and if they don't do what you say, they take a shit ton of damage.
Yeah, it takes 5d10 damage if they act against you, or against the instructions.
Technically, it's pronounced Gesh.
Gesh.
It's not how it's spelled.
I guess.
Well, I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, it's crazy. An obligation or like prohibition. Like you essentially give them a quest. So you give them a command and they have to do the thing. And if they try to not do it, they take like damage. And it's the kind of spell that like a lot of the time people like undertake willingly as like a sign, right? You like give them a quest and they do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty serious.
Man, and then legend lore is fucking sick too. You can just,
they're a big deal.
Be like, hey, I want to know everything about this right now.
Yeah. Adam, tell me everything that you know about this place right here. I want to know all the lore about this.
Yeah. For 250. For 250 gold. You can, because it consumes it.
Yeah, so the idea is that, that spell taps into kind of the like Jungian like mental sphere of what everyone knows. So you learn a summary of all the significant lore in the world, right? Tales, stories, secrets about that thing. But if the thing isn't of legendary importance, you gain no information.
That's pretty cool. Those are some fun spells.
You can only ask about interesting things.
A really cool spell is Contagion. Like, it's a massively debuffing. If it sticks on something, it does some ridiculous stuff. Like, they get three saving throws, and if they fail the third one, it stays on them for 7 days. Like, Jesus. Slimy Doom is the creature has disadvantage on constitution checks and constitution saving throws. In addition, whenever it takes damage, it's stunned until the end of its next turn.
Damn.
So every time it takes damage, it's stunned for its next turn.
Man, you're gonna be doing some crazy
shit. But I have
to
do a melee strike, so I have to go right up to something and touch it, which is...
Right.
And they get three saves, so like the chance of it actually sticking forever is low, but when it does stick, it's nasty.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy. Yeah, I guess before we get to the new character, what was up with that? I thought that Adam was gonna drop me on top of that door that you guys entered into, but no, that was, they like sealed that shit off and said, don't fucking come down here. That was pretty foul.
Well, so you can kind of see in the background of the setting the organizations of the city trying to deal with the Farang infestation, where they're like, okay, we need to fight it. Okay, we're losing. Shit's coming apart. We need to quarantine. Okay, let's, you know what? Just cut off Lower City completely. Everyone just back away. We're falling back. And so while the group of you and the tower are causing chaos, the rest of the city is still trying to like find different ways to deal with it. And so this district, particularly the Death Priests, were like, it's done. Let it go. Close the door. Bind the door with sacred cord and just tell everybody, like, don't go in there. They're dead. Move on. And then, of course, because you're PCs, you don't play by the rules, so you're like, forget that, let's go check it out. And then here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I was not expecting the thing of bodies.
The Death Priests were really into art all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Well, that's the weird thing. It's like those were definitely Mara, but they definitely weren't Death Priests. They might have been like corrupted Death Priests or like dressed as them, and then we'll see. You can look into that a little more.
Yeah.
So From the last time that we played, when we did the last episode of Far Verona, there's a fan, Dalen Nine, who did a like a stats assessment for the episode.
I saw that.
We got week 74 stats for Court of Swords.
Nice.
So let's see. It looks like Yoji, looks like you won this episode.
I also fucked up. I should have been rolling with a +2, so I should have never missed.
I have
a +9 to hit.
Let's see, your average result was 19.25. pretty good for all your rolls.
Yeah.
Kalimat, your average roll was just under 16. So good, but you lost.
You also did a bunch of rolls, though. You did a lot more rolling than everyone.
That was the average result. And then there's like average rolls too. There's all this like data, and it's great because you can look at every single roll you did and see the results and all the stats.
I asked that guy last week. I was like, hey, do this for Court of Swords for 74 episodes. So he did one. So we're just going to start working on it.
I just love the idea of, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, about like having like essentially baseball cards for players.
Yeah.
To be like, this is Zeke. Zeke joined the show here. He's made this many thousand rolls. Zeke's average roll is a success. Or like you could track it out and be like, build stats for all of the players across multiple campaigns. It's crazy. I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't know if Dalen Nine watches the Patreon videos, but shout out to you, man. That's really
cool. I have to assume, because Dalen Nine has a House Triangulum logo as their sigil, I assume that they're part of the Discord, and so they probably have access to this.
Yeah.
The rest of the thread is useless to me because it's all literally just discussions about what class you are, JP.
Dude, I know, and I love that because I'm not gonna say shit in this video as to what class I am.
I could see you were so excited about like, nope, I'm not gonna tell him. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah. I'm really.
I mean, you could work it out by what he's allowed to do, right?
That's what they were doing.
That's what they were doing in chat. Yeah.
What I should have done, JP, is asked you leading but ridiculous question. I should have been like, "You want to use your sneak attack?" And you could have been like, "No."
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm gonna hold off.
Yeah, I even like in the stats thing for the class. I just have it like question mark. So I'm enjoying that a lot. I went like. I had a very hard time deciding class for this character. I actually got access to the new book to see like what was in it, to see if I wanted to do something with that from WotC, and I ended up not doing it. Because I didn't, I told Adam this as well, I didn't want to play like an oddity. And then I ended up kind of making one as somewhat in sort of a way, but I didn't want to play another turtle. I didn't want to be like, hey, that guy's a fucking, there's a giant walking turtle here. It's like,
what are you?
Yeah. I just wanted to be kind of like a normal looking dude. But I'm like super into the character. We were saying this before we started recording, doing a voice, at least for me, and I've always told people this, doing a voice when it comes to like RPing makes it like a billion times more fun. And when I was playing like Sully, there was like a slight voice, but there wasn't enough to like make it to differentiate between me talking and my character talking. And so now like this, when I first started talking to Kali on the roof of the house, I was like, oh shit, this feels good. Like I'm enjoying every second of this.
It's really nice when you have a character like, and I'll find this with NPCs too, where you have a character and you're like, I can't wait till I get to talk again. Like, I can't wait till I get to be in a scene and just have shit to say because I'm ready. I'm like, I'm ready. And I've been practicing. I've got some ideas on how this guy sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really fun place to be.
There was
no. I loved how surprising it was because that is not what I expected to come out of. I was not expecting any sort of like cockiness or swagger or anything like that. I was expecting a dark figure who's like super mysterious. But once you take off that mask, you're just like, hey, it's like I do what I do. Like, oh my god, that's awesome.
I mean, based on the description of the character and kind of how he was, I think most people were expecting some variation of like Batman or Genji. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I hunt demons. That's what I do.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I love that you went a different direction where you're just like, yo, this is how it is. What's up?
Yeah.
What are you doing down here?
Yeah. That I was like, should I do a voice? No, that just sounds stupid. I'm not going to do that. Cause then it'd be like a little racist in some way.
Well, and it's, you either have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
You come across as like sounding like a cartoon.
Yeah.
And I think that it's fine too, because and I know this is a thing that came up the first time I really heard about it or thought about this, it was during Blades, where it's like you have an accent that sounds familiar, but it's a stand-in for like an in-universe accent the characters might recognize as being from somewhere, but we need an analogous accent. Like, it's not like anyone in the world would hear you talking and be like, was this guy from Boston or what?
Yeah.
Like, they would be like, oh, you're from a place in the world that we're using this accent as a stand-in, because as anyone who's ever played a badly voice acted fantasy game can tell you, it's really, really hard to make up a new language. And then it's super hard to teach voice actors to have a made up accent for that made up language.
Right.
They usually just come off sounding like something else anyway.
Yeah.
Pillars of Eternity is doing that. Pillars is full of that, where it's like,
big
you
time.
Have this weird Portuguese Italian accent, sort of. And some of the characters sounded like a Mario. And you're like, come on, guys. Just don't like back off. Just come up with like, use an Italian accent if you want, but then get people who can do an Italian accent, not trying to make them weird Spanish.
Yeah. Traveler, I have a quest for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, all right, for sure. There's a lot.
It's Wario.
Yeah.
But no, I really like it too. I thought it was great.
Yeah. That,
when you first spoke, I was instantly like, this reminds me of Fallout 4 characters. It just got that like something in your voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing too, that I had forgotten what it's like to speak in a voice for the very first time on a show, because you're just like,
it's always a good moment.
Oh God, this is going to suck. And then you talk and you're like, oh, that was actually pretty good. Let's just keep going. it becomes an addiction for sure.
Chat in a lot of ways, they have this tendency when you unveil a new character where you say their name and then everyone in chat will rush to find like a pun or a joke or something like tease you about the name and then do the voice and the same thing happens. They're like, oh, what's like a funny thing we could say to observe about this that like, you know, and you're like, okay, we'll get past all that.
Yeah.
And, but the actual doing it and stuff, like, as I know everybody, when you went to talk, everybody got quiet. We were all just like, what is it? What is it?
I know. I'm pretty sure my eyes are actually closed when I first spoke, because I was looking straight at you guys and you all went like, and leaned in a little bit. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not, I can't have my eyes open for this shit.
Hi guys, my name's Yoji.
How's it going? My name's Yoji. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming downstairs.
Like, hi everybody. Be like
effeminate Southern is like, y'all, listen up. We're gonna be doing this, and it's gonna be
I've done a character exactly like that. She was a seamstress, and it was actually with Man vs. Game, and we died in the first game.
That's right.
There's absolutely room for that. That kind of thing where you play a character where the accent sounds like something else to draw. I mean, again, to go back to Pillars, like the people of the Deerwood all sound like what we would say, like think are like rednecks. They all sound like they're from Georgia. And we're like, that's weird, but I get what you're trying to say. So there's totally room in a fantasy game for someone to have like a Western accent or like a Southern belle or whatever and be like, okay, cool. Like I get what you're doing.
My favorite thing with, especially for people who maybe like are not comfortable doing voices or don't have a huge amount of range or whatever, and they're worried about attempting an accent. It's like, dude, this is a fantasy world. Like, no one knows what the fuck we sound like. So if you're doing a poor whatever accent, you're doing a great that accent.
I
couldn't agree more, man. I couldn't agree more. Like, as someone who loves doing voices, when you do it like for the first time, you're just like, if this sucks, I can just say that. I can just say like, I'm from, like, you know, this fucking made-up land that doesn't even really exist, so eat a dick. I'm great.
How dare you tell me what that sounds like?
That's super fun. I'm excited. I have a lot of ideas about the character and where it could go, but I'm not, like, committed to anything just yet, which is fun as well. I'm glad that I didn't just... Yeah, my name's Yoji, and I'm here because of X, Y, and Z. And if you want to be here, then maybe we can go to V together and have some fun there, because I really have done that my entire life, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm excited to kind of eco.
Welcome to my exciting backstory. It all began when I was a boy of five.
Yeah.
I grew up in the...
And the other thing, too, is the backstory of... at least for like Ramus and Berg, a little bit less for Kali, but he's got some now. The backstory for you guys is the past 50 episodes. Like you never really like dealt like Ramus a little bit, like with you being in the priesthood and all that stuff, and kind of that you got not made fun of, a little bit more than made fun of there. But for like Berg, you were a slave. Like I don't even think you ever revealed how you became a slave, right?
Little bits and pieces.
Yeah. And so that's, I gotta sit down with Adam and be like, can I do X, Y, Z? Like, is that too much? Would he know this? Would he be in that part of the world, et cetera? And I've done some of that already, but,
I mean, I'm always in favor of reveal in play rather than like, exposit, right? Like we don't want paragraphs of text. We want to like learn in little bits and pieces in context. Stuff that happens in the game reminds your character of their past or comes up and you're like, oh, okay, this is related. I could talk about that now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm super stoked for the next episode. I can't wait to slip back into that character and just keep talking. I had a really good time with that. So anything else you guys want to mention or bring up? Oh, by the way, Zeke, did Adam tell you the rolls for that sleight of hand? Cause he actually rolled for that. That's why I told you that.
No, I was wondering, I was like, Was he meaning to get caught?
Yeah, he rolled my D20 plus 7, got a 16, and you rolled a D20 plus 4 and got a 21.
Oh, okay.
So you rolled a 17, I rolled a 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that, otherwise... Otherwise, I would have waited until either you went to draw the weapon or the next time you camp and been like, uh-oh, dagger's gone. What do you do?
Yeah.
Which would have been, it would have been pretty fun and kind of intense to have that happen at the beginning of a fight. You'd be like, I draw my knife and I attack and I'm like, oh, it's not there. Weird.
I'm glad I fucking found it, or mm-hmm. glad I noticed it,
yeah.
Because, man, that would I'm goddamn sick of people in this fucking party making me want to leave or hit them.
I wasn't gonna take it. I just wanted to see it. I think as a character, because Adam described it, and I even asked, like, do I notice this weapon being different at the beginning of that fight? That's why I asked that. Because to me, like, you killing those mobs was important to me.
And did you, how did you feel about, and this can, like, go out to anybody there, because I got a lot of weird reactions in chat when I actually, like, noticed it, turned around, flipped it up, and just, like, let you take a look at it. Like,
I think that's a very Calimat thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, what was I going to do? Jump off the building and run? Berg would have fucking, like, killed me in my stride. Or Ramus would have killed me right off the bat. Like, there was no reason for you to be worried that I was just going to disappear randomly. So I think that was in character. Yeah.
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 No, just people in chat were like, hi, I just met you, stranger. Here, take a look at the knife you just tried to steal. I'm like, it's 3-on-1, first of all.
Right, right. And I think, like, in character, I was even like, I just wanted to look at it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Here you go. Handed it back. So, anything else you guys want to bring up from this episode?
No,
it was really fun.
No, it was nice being able to have a moment too, kind of as a little bit of a send off too for Sally to be like, "You're forgiven," you know? Like,
for me as
Berg,
that was pretty cool for sure. Yeah, that was one of the on Saturday when it's like, all right, I got to figure out what I want to do. It was Collie feeling bad that, like, the reason I died was his fault. Berg never really getting to make up or anything. And I joked. I was like, Dan's probably going to be upset that I let him waste a reagent on me. And sure enough, Dan RP'd that he was actually upset. And I was like, well, I was joking, but he actually was upset, which I thought was perfect. It's exactly what that character would have done for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the reason that you wanted to keep the pearls was as like a memento for Sally, not necessarily for the gold, but
yeah,
that
was
going to
be something to remember you by, but I didn't want people to know that's why I was taking it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I caught on to that. So that was cool for sure. I thought the death of Sally was handled well, from my point of view. So
good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Anyways, that's it. I think we're good. We need to just figure out, we need to pick an episode and be like, we're going to play for 8 hours today instead of 4.
play
all day. Just start a little bit earlier and just play for 8 hours. Because it's getting to the point where, like, fights take up a long time for the show and it just goes by so fucking quick. So we need to figure out a day to do it.
Well, give me a heads up when you do that, because I got back-to-back role play shows.
Yeah, that's true. You're already doing 8 hours. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Adam's already doing a bunch as well, so. Not anytime soon. I'm not announcing anything, patrons. Just calm down. Okay. that's it, though, for this episode. We'll see you guys for the post show for Far Verona tomorrow. I'm not going to have a character creation, by the way, for those wondering. I didn't record one. Maybe after a couple episodes, I'll sit down and kind of talk about the reasons of what I chose and all that stuff.
Well, you can save your character talk until, like, the episode we do the big reveal, right? Where we figure out what you're. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That works. So. Anyways, that's it. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much, Ralt. Bye-bye.